Are we on?
Yes.
Okay. In the fourth reading of Parshas Vayishlach, the Torah details the meeting of Yaakov and Esav, the meeting of the families, the conversation that ensues. Esav is very conciliatory. He wants to get it together. He says, Yaakov, come, let's be friends. I don't really need all these gifts. Yaakov says, no, take my gifts. It's okay. I'm very happy for you to have them. And Esav says, come with me. Come, we're going to roam the hills together. And Yaakov says, you roam the hills. I'll be there. Don't wait for me. Esav is not so impressed with this. And in the end, he does leave. And Yaakov says, I have a family to worry about. I have small children and there's livestock. Anyway, Esav says, I can go with some of the people. I can make room. No, Yaakov says, It's fine. You just go, and I'll be there eventually. And I say, just tell us that is a euphemism referring to the future when Mashiach will come. Verse 16 of chapter 33. Vayoshav bayoymahu Esav ladakai. And so, Esau goes on his merry way. That's all. Seira. Heads off to Seir. What's Vayoshav bayoymahu? Esav goes off on his very way, in his merry way, I should say, on that day. What's bayoymahu? So the Targum Yonason says, here we have an allusion to a miracle we've talked about before. When somebody goes on a journey and it's bayoymahu, kavtzalei haderech, a miracle happened.
Sure.
He went back right that day. Hashem took him as quickly as he could, far, far away from Yaakov. As the Medrash Seichel Tov says, Rabbeinu Tuvio says, why? Shalo yischaret. He shouldn't have time to regret what has just happened. He just basically threw in the towel, admitted to the blessings, and Yaakov has come out victorious. Yeah, get him home really quickly. Put him on roller skates and get him home fast. And that's exactly what happens. Rashi says, Esav levadai. When he came with 400 men, armed to the teeth, a whole Hamas detail. And now Esav is alone. What happened? Va'arba meyes ish ha'ol cha'imai. What happened to the 400 men who were with him? They're not mentioned. So what happened was, our sages tell us that Esav, he was not happy. He was not happy. He was kind of, he didn't feel good being Mr. Nice Guy. And then he had to go. And he started to foment the next plan of attack. But in the meantime, the terrorists with him weren't really interested. They said, we don't want to do this. They're afraid of Esav. So Nishmatu me etzloi, they slowly, stealthily crept away. They peeled off one at a time. And in the end, Esav was left alone. So by the time he finished formulating and fomenting his plans of attack, there was nobody left to join him in the attack. Vehechan parul lehem HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is eni mekapech schar kol beria. Every creature gets his or her just reward. Where did God repay these 400 people? So Rashi says, Bimei David, this comes in the days of David HaMelech. Shenemar, as it's written, that David smote these Amalekites, with the exception of 400 Ishnar Asher Rechobay Al Agmolim, those 400 descendants of Esav, of the people of Esav, who were survivors of this conflict, riding on camels, and they were let free. It's very hard to understand this. How is it that people riding on camels for, like, literally hundreds of years later, many hundreds of years later, with David HaMelech? How did that become the ones who received the reward? But I guess they're called Anshe Esav, the people of Esav. So sometimes there's reward on a personal level to an individual who did something, and sometimes it's like a national reward. At any rate, that's the bottom line. Esav is gone, he's left, and Yaakov now begins his journey home. Verse 17, the Yain Cave, Nosa Sukhoisa. Father Jacob, he travels towards a place called Sukkot. Vayiven loy boyas, he builds himself a nice sturdy home. But for his livestock, also sukkos, he makes these temporary huts. Al kain kodosh emamokamahu, and that's the reason that this place was called Sukkot, based on Yaakov's simple or temporary structures that he built for the livestock. Rashi says, what is the meaning of a yivin loy boyis? Why do we hear about Yaakov's building prowess now? Till now we know he was a shepherd. Now we know he's a developer. Now he's building homes. And why do we hear about that? What's the point being made to us? So, and then you hear about temporary homes. So Rashi says like this. Shoho Sham, he remained in Sukkot, Yud Ches Chedesh, 18 months. There was a Kayetz, there was a summer. There was a Chayra for winter, and then there was a Kayetz. And each one is 6 months, of course. So that's why it says that he made himself a house. That's singular. Ve'yiven loy boyis. L'miknehu, for his livestock. Osa Sukkos, that's plural. So that indicates two seasons. And that tells us basically, Sukkot, a temporary dwelling, makeshift dwelling, Kayetz, that refers to a summer. Bayit, a permanent dwelling, that refers to a Choref, a winter. And then again, Sukkot, a temporary dwelling, refers to the summer when the weather's good, there's no inclement weather, and you don't need to have a quote-unquote roof over your head in the land of Israel. That is the literal, I would say, pshutish or mikra way of understanding it. However, the deeper way of understanding this is that Yaakov made for the livestock Sukkot, and for himself, he made a sturdy home, as the Ur HaChaim says. That's why it's L'miknehu. He first built himself a sturdy home. A yog v'yivin l'boyas. L'miknehu, and for the livestock, he made these temporary dwellings. So if you take a look, we're going to learn a quick snippet of the beauty of Chumash before we go back to the Chumash itself. So take a look at this quick snippet because this is meaningful and insightful. On the bottom of page Kuf Lamed Ches, the Rebbe suggests that Loi means for him, Li'inyonav shel Yankev Atzmei, for Jacob himself. So he made a boyas, he made a house. In other words, for the ruchnias, for the neshama, for the spirituality, for Yaakov himself, for this was permanence. This was bona bayit, which is Didas Keva. The ilu, conversely, l'mikneu, for the livestock, which represents inyanim gashmiim, the material reality, asa sukkos. That was good enough for temporary dwelling. That was, gives you an insight into how Yaakov led his life. What was important to him and what was secondary. The materialism, whatever. Temporary. The spirituality, bayis, idea of a permanent home. At any rate, we now hear of Yaakov arriving safe and secure. The safe landing. Verse 18 tells us, Vayavai Yaakov Shalem. At the end of these 18 months, Yaakov now arrives intact, whole, at peace. He comes to Ir Shechem, the city of Shechem. Asher Be'eretz Canaan, which is in the land of Canaan. Bevoyoi Mipadan Aram, when he is still coming. In other words, this is an ongoing journey from Padan Aram, from Choron. Vayichan Espenehu Ir. He camps in full view of the city. What does this mean? When we say the notion, when we talk about the idea of Yaakov Avinu finally arriving in Sholem in order, or Ir Shechem, so the way we understand this could be, there's multiple possibilities over here. One possibility, before we go into Rashi, one possibility is like the Ibn Ezra says, that he came at peace. In other words, there was no more drama. After the Esav story, after Esav and Lavan, after so many years of fighting and conflict and arguing, no more drama. Yaakov arrives peaceful. Everything's fine. Doesn't remain that way for very long, by the way. Because unfortunately, the story of Dina is going to happen. That's the next narrative, and that's the next scene. The Ramban says, Shalom means he came home to Israel. Esau, his crazy brother, went off to Seir. He says, I'm safe. Safe and secure. A Yid comes home to Eretz Yisrael. It's the safest place in the world. He's home. He's safe. Rashbam tells us that the name of the city was Shalom. That was the original name of the city. Which is kind of odd, because usually we hear of Yerushalayim being Shalom. And then it was later modified as Yerushalayim. But he says the name of this city was Shalem. Maybe people like the name, and there's multiple cities had a similar name. And he said this was the city that Shechem lived in, and Shechem was a megalomaniac who renamed the city Shechem. But actually the original name of the city was Shalem. And that's why Rashbam says, it says that Yaakov came Shalem, which was Ir Shechem, the city of Shechem. So the city's name was Shalim. It was Ir Shechem, the city where Shechem lived. And later we hear the city named Shechem because Shechem named it after himself. And this is how other Mefarshim also say it. There was a Rishon whose name is Rabbeinu Yankiv Mivina. Yes, in Vienna there was a Rishonim already. And Rabbi Yankiv, he maintains that the name of the city was Shalim.
Why can't you interpret it as Shalim, like complete whole? Like he's.
You could. Rashi interprets it that way.
Oh, okay.
Which is, it brings us into Rashi. So Rashi says, Shalim is not the name of the city. There's no reason to say that. But rather, Shalim means his state of being. Shalim begufei. He was whole, intact, in a bodily sense. What does that mean? Nobody took a bite off his ear? Mike Tyson style?
He's been through a lot.
He was limping. The last we met him, he was limping.
Oh, okay.
So now we hear he's not limping anymore. Shinesirape mitzil also. He is now healed from his limp. Sholim b'mamaynoi. His bank account is robust and intact. What did you hear otherwise? He had to give a lot of gifts to Esav. That was a costly affair. So, lechaser leklum, he was not missing anything. From all those gifts that he sent to Esav, nothing was missing. And lastly, sholem b'teirasai, whole means he was whole in his Torah, shalishachach talmudei, that in the 20 plus years of living in Lavan's house, and then these 18 months of returning and being on the road, Yaakov did not forget anything that he learned. All of the Torah that he learned was all intact in his mind. You maintained everything. That means Shalim. Shalim means it's a description of Yaakov's personal, intact, whole state. On every level. In a bodily sense, residually, and spiritually. Shalim, whole. The obvious question is, we heard of Yaakov's Refuah Shleima, his miraculous healing, which was done by the rising sun, already 18 months ago. Already before he met Esav, he was healed. And if there's this idea, and it is talked about in the Medrash, of miraculously, that Yaakov's flocks not being depleted, even though he sent an enormous amount of livestock to Esau, that would have been right away. So what is the meaning of that Vayava Yaakov Shalim, that he comes whole, Shalim Begufai, Shalim B'mamaynai. What do you mean? That already happened 18 months ago. How does that work out to be now Vayava Yaakov Shalim? And maybe this is why Rashbam, Rabbeinu Yankiv, and other Rishonim say, this doesn't seem right. It can't be Yaakov is whole here. He would have been whole before already. And if he's whole before, why would you talk about it here? And that's why they opt for the next kind of option. We're saying Shalim is the name of a city, which is problematic in Pshuta Shal Mikra. A, because the name Shalim refers to Yerushalayim and Malki Tzedek. How could you have two cities that have the same name that are approximately a day or a day and a half apart? I mean, Shechem and Yerushalayim are very close to one another. You hop on a donkey, it's a day's ride. And they were both named Shalim. That doesn't make any sense. It's probably why Rashi rejects it. Number one. Number two, we have no indication that the city is called Shalim. It says Ir Shechem. So you have to kind of reach in a very creative way to say, Vayava Yain gave Shalim, comma. What was Shalim? That was Ir Shechem, the city of Shechem. But what bothers these sages? It bothers them very simple. What do you mean, he arrived intact here? How is it that we say this is the safe landing that Yaakov made? That doesn't seem to add up. So this is a famous question, and there are various answers to it. And here, we're going to take a look in the Bira Chumash. The Rebbe brings the answer of Rabbeinu David Luria, also known as the Maskil David. And the Maskil David answers this question by suggesting Shashleim Azu, Lo Yizchacha, page Kuf Lamates, Simon Lamed Beis. This intactness, this wholesome perfection that Yaakov arrived at, this peace that Yaakov achieved, was not something that actually happened when Yaakov came to Shechem. But rather, Hoysa Kayemes Kaidim Lachain. Really, it was like this before. Hashleim is Begufoy, Shekein Lehoyim et Chilich Hisarin. There was no loss. The flocks weren't depleted. But he sent so much to Esav. Yeah, it looked like that. If you went back and counted, it was a miracle. Nothing was missing. Nothing was missing. And that was even at the time when he sent the gift to Esav. A miracle happened. The Maskal of David says, Nasalei neis shalei chisir klum. The problem with the Maskal of David's answer is it doesn't fit with the Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vayavi yank. It only happened over here. So if this happened previously, why would the Torah mention it here? So therefore, the Rebbe takes a different approach. He says, with all respect to the Maskal of David, there's no good reason to suggest that's what Rashi really means. Even though the Medrash does say this. So the Medrash says, the Rebbe says, okay, the Medrash talks in Midrashic terminology. In Midrashic terminology, a lot of things can go. But in Pshut HaShel Mikra, if you want to have a literal interpretation of the verse, you can't reach in that fashion. It's got to fit with the cadence and flow of the actual narrative, of the way the verses are presented to us. So in Pashtus HaKesuvim, it's very difficult to say this because it says, Vayava Yankev Shalim Ir Shchem. And the indication is he came whole, intact, at peace when he was in Shchem, not prior. L'kedim L'chem. So therefore, our Rebbe says, suggests an unbelievable chiddush. A new approach to this Rashi, which up until the Rebbe's time, nobody ever learned Rashi like this. The Rebbe says it is not unreasonable to suggest that since it talks about Sholem, what does Sholem mean? Sholem means whole, intact. That means a person could suffer trauma and then they're released from the hospital. Does it mean that they're whole? Does it mean that they're back to where they were? Sometimes they never get back to themselves. Sometimes there's always a residual imprint. You can see this is a person who suffered. People who go through unfortunate trauma sometimes take years to recover. Sometimes they never recover. Sometimes they're never the same again. Physically, they're depleted. The body suffered trauma and you never bounce back. So therefore, the Rebbe suggests that shleimus shel yankev, not the healing. Of course, the healing took place the next morning, but the shleimus, the full healing, and the full replacing of everything Yaakov lost, that took a year and a half. Shleimus begufei. Yes, it's true the sun rose and Yaakov wasn't limping fully anymore. And remember, there's an opinion in the Gemara that Yaakov was limping on both hips, not just one dislocated. But that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, was the right hip. According to the Chachamim, it was both hips that were dislocated. He was already walking. He already ran towards Esav, so he wasn't fully limping. He wasn't a paraplegic, that's for sure. He wasn't using crutches, but it wasn't Yaakov, the mighty, the gymnast, who was in great shape. It took time. It wasn't immediate, instantaneous. Naturally speaking, it took time. Yaakov slowly got back to himself. That was a very serious injury he sustained. And therefore, when was he finally fully healed? When does he come whole? When he comes to Ir Shechem. Took a year and a half. Shleimus b'mamonai. He spent enormous amounts of money. It wasn't a joke. He spent thousands of animals. He sent in Esau's direction. It took time. Mishaluach hadoyrin, from sending over that gift, achan garim lechisarim esuyim. There's no question that there was a dent. The residuals were affected. It's impossible otherwise. By the time he got to Shechem, Hashem made this miracle within the realm of nature, and the flocks were very prolific, and the flocks replaced themselves. So by the time he got to Shechem, a year and a half later, everything was fine. It's as if the story never happened. So this works well for the corporeal wholeness. It works well for the financial kind of restoration. What doesn't it work for, though? It doesn't work for the spiritual. Are you going to tell me that Yaakov was spiritually compromised for a year and a half? No. Shleimus b'teirasai, the perfection in his Torah lumazais, hisakayemez b'tamid. That was always there. That wasn't a Shechem novelty. Lehoisach haseira. And therefore, Rashi doesn't, he adds two words here. He says, shalom b'teirasai doesn't mean the Torah was restored to him. His health was restored. Nisrapa mitzilase. The finances weren't impacted. But when it comes to Torah, shaloi shochach. He never forgot. Doesn't say he relearned. Never forgot. And never forgot means that he always had that shleimus. that even when Yaakov was in a compromised state physically and financially, spiritually, he was always whole. And the Rebbe says that there's a very important lesson in our own Avodas Hashem for every one of us is really Yaakov. And Yaakov's journey is a journey of every single Jewish man and woman. We're all in a journey and we all have challenges. And we have to know that when we go into an exile and we deal with difficulties, when we have a shlichus ish like a jbarchu, a divinely ordained mission, kedei levarer lezachek chasailam, in order to perfect, purify, refine, and elevate the material world around us, yitochin shatiya yiridim mesiemes bedagasi. It is possible you will sustain losses. You're not always going to be on top. You went out on a shlichus, and there was a cost to pay. There was a price to pay. Avol yirida zu tiyazman es bavad. When you went out on a mission and you felt you sustained a loss, know that it's only temporary. That loss, it will come back to you. You make the investment. In the end, you'll reap the benefits. B'seifa shel davar, the message for a yid is, by the time you get to Shechem, shalom. The bodily injury is sustained, you'll be healed in the end. The finances depleted, they'll be replaced. Your bank account will be restored. However, there is one area in your life in which you're not allowed to see a change. There's one area in which we cannot sustain losses. And that is when it comes to our Yiddishkeit, when it comes to our Ruchnius. And the Rebbe says, all of these things are in Yanim Chitzenim. Gufay, the corporeality, sustain the loss. Mamaynay, the finances. The bank took a hit. Avol binyanim apnimim, in the inner track. Be'inyan haneshama, which is teirasai, the person's teirah, the person's union, communion, oneness with God, which happens through the knowledge of teirah. And when a person knows teirah, like the Alter Rebbe says in the famous Maimer, look at the teirah of Yadarta Bezakan, when you're teifsa teirah, when you have the teirah in your memory, it's as if you're holding a Torah, you become like a bookshelf, so to speak. You contain the teirah. Over there, loy tiya loy yirida klal. Over there, a yid does not have to expect, nor should he countenance any kind of dissent, even for a zman katz, even for a short time. And kishem shatirasek, like Yankev, just like the Torah of Yankev Avinu, lehoisech haseirim elam was never missing. So there may be an impact, there may be a setback in various levels of our existence, but only in the chitzenius, only in the superficial and exterior realm. When it comes to our Yiddishkeit, that's something that has to be maintained in every time, in every place, and in every situation. And when we maintain what a yid is really about, when the core is maintained, when our values are not compromised, so then the Eibishter helps that even if there's a loss financially or chas v'shalom in a bodily sense, then this is all restored and we come home for a safe landing. May it be speedily in an hour and a half.